Welcome to episode one of the Patterson Podcast. This is your host, David Mitchell. We're here together to share tips and tools from the Patterson process and to hear the stories of people like you using the process to do incredible things. Today is a really special conversation for me as I get to speak with my friend, Pete Richardson. Pete is a partner and lead trainer at the Patterson Center and a facilitator of both life plans and StratOps. Over the last 20 years, Pete has guided 900 people through the life plan process and guided hundreds of teams through StratOp. In that life plan process, in 2 days one-on-one with Pete, he's guided so many to clarity, breakthrough, and growth. And the ripple effect of all of that is monumental. So, Pete, when you guided me through the life plan process, one of the first things that you guided me to discover was really what got me to where I'm at today. In the life plan process, we call this our turning points profile, in a sense, creating our own story map for our lives. And so I want to begin there with you. What got you to where you're at today?
Yeah, so this concept of our life story, our backstory, and how we navigate through the twists and turns of life and its decades. I was 28, almost 29. It was the fall of 1992. And I had no idea what I was walking into. My turn was up. And what I mean by that is the organization I was working for at the time were sponsoring these two-day sessions with this guy named Tom Patterson called Life Planning. And several of my colleagues had already been through it, and I had heard good things. But at the time, we had been traveling a lot just by the nature of the work I was doing. We had two babies at home, and emotionally, I was tired. I really didn't want to go to California, Southern Cal, Palm Springs, to meet with this guy, Tom Patterson. I didn't know who he was. And I think on top of that sort of emotional fatigue was a fear. I had just been promoted to vice president. I didn't feel like I was qualified for this promotion. And I thought, you know, he's going to tell me, who do you think you are? You're not the guy. So there was this current of fear, like, what's he going to do to me? And so I went and I landed at LAX. Got this Ford Mustang convertible, and I was driving on one of those classic surreal desert evenings into the Valley of Palm Springs, and had, I call it a whisper moment, where there's this whisper inside your brain, and you know it's not your self-talk, you know it's coming from another source, and that whisper said, Pete, I have something for you. And it sort of took me from this clenched fist, sort of, why am I doing this, state of mind, to being open to whatever happened over those 2 days. And little did I know those 2 days with Tom would radically turn my life and change everything. And I found Tom to be a very gentle soul. He was Yoda, both almost in his physical makeup, but also in his wisdom. And he did surgery on my soul. And he dug in, he encouraged me, he helped me gain clarity on who I really am and who I'm not. And he gave me fuel sort of to run into my 30s and attack it with confidence and not be afraid to fail. And with this clarity of purpose and how I'm designed and who I am and what my contribution in life could be. So, and it also set in motion a friendship with Tom that continued, because later on I saw him do his magic, sprinkle his pixie dust as a StratOp facilitator on the organization I was at. And now, you know, for the last 20 years, everything I do literally vocationally and even beyond that, finds its roots in those 2 days with Tom and how he changed the way I think and the way even I relate and how I see the world.
In those 2 days, just thinking back, what Maybe you could share with us, what was something you discovered about yourself that was surprising or exciting to you?
That I'm a strategic leader, and that's okay. At the time, it was embryonic, and others saw it in me, and that's why I think people validated me as a young leader. But in my own insecurities, I was like, no, I had no training in that. So that was very affirming. He validated the creative part of me as well and said, this is not to be silenced or stagnated. It must be cultivated. He also validated me in my writing, my communication gift, and just how that needs its own investment of time and energy, and it will grow over decades. So, those were significant validations on sort of the heart passion side. And I'm really driven by contribution. And he validated that not as a weak attribute, but as something that is, it's just in my hardwiring, in my makeup, and that's okay. Those were some of the main discoveries that were very encouraging at that age and allowed me to not be ashamed of them, but to invest in those components of who I am. In those 2 days, what Tom also did was spoke sort of futuristically into my life. And he saw me doing what he was doing with people and organizations. And at the time, I didn't say this to him, but inside my internal self-talk, I'm thinking, there's no way I could ever do what you do. And yet now, 25 years later, it's my sense of life work and purpose.
Tell us a little more then about Tom Patterson. There's a lot to say for sure, but from a high level, who is he? And what contribution has he made in the world?
Tom's a unique character and figure, and he's left his imprint on technology in ways that he doesn't get the press about it. He's not written up in books the way others do, but he cut his teeth in process sort of engineering contributions. He was the guy who, through his own innovative, sort of inventive abilities. I always said, Tom, you have the gift to see voids. You see what is missing that if it was there, it could be a great contribution. So for example, way back in the 60s, he is visiting the Stanford Research Lab on a Sunday, and he's hungry and he needs cash. He didn't have cash, and he was sitting in the parking lot in his car at a bank thinking about, what if there was a technology machine where it knew who you were? There was some kind of personal identification system, later became the PIN technology of the ATM machine, that it knew who you were, it knew how much money you had in your bank account, and you could actually get cash out of that machine and guaranteed every time it would give you the exact amount. So he actually filed in 1967 the patent for the PIN technology. It's in his name under RCA because he was with RCA at the time. That's one significant contribution. So I thank Tom every time I get cash out of an ATM machine. Hey, thanks, Tom. He did a similar thing with the DVD technology. Right after the VHS technology had hit the market, he knew it was way too early to commercialize it. He worked extensively with the Disney brothers, Roy Disney. He had this idea: what would happen if we took the light technology of RCA and combined it with the theme park concept of Disneyland, and that became Space Mountain, and evolved into what it is today. He similar contributions in aerodynamics, space technology, missions to the moon, on and on. So through all that, Tom wasn't that sort of innovative engineer. He was more of the innovative process strategic thinker that led collaborative conversations, to led that eventually led to those technology breakthroughs.
And over the last 25 years, you have written and spoken many times about the journey to live life's purpose. Help us understand today what that journey looks like, what the stages of the journey look like, and how do I or how do our listeners get a sense today of where they're at on that journey?
Yeah, so that concept, journey to live life's purpose, it was a combination of guiding hundreds of people through the life plan process over years, and then being inspired in my thinking by authors like Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, which it's a beautiful sort of journalistic logging of his experience in concentration camps. And out of that, this concept of logotherapy, helping someone discover a greater meaning in life. And that's really what life planning is. And the premise is that all of us have a unique design. All of us have a unique purpose to why we're born, why we're here at this point in human history in this generation. How many discover and live that before they go to the grave? Wow, I think it's very low percentage, which is sad to me. I think the greatest wasted resource in the world is human talent never realizing its full potential. So the journey to live life's purpose is really a roadmap or a pathway that I've seen in my work with people in this sort of logotherapy life planning work. And the first phase is about this awakening and awareness. I think at some point in our human existence, there's these existential questions sort of written on our soul that whisper to us, like, there must be more, you know? What's my purpose in life? Is it meaningless? Is it random? Or is it specific? Is it unique to me? And if so, how in the world do I discover what that is? I've seen that surface in certainly my work with, you know, the more privileged Americans, but also in third world countries around the world. I think it's a human reality to at some point ask ourselves these questions. And once awakened, it sort of spins us into a search and discovery mode. And in that search and discovery mode, if we have access to it, we're reading differently. We're asking questions to people we value and sort of picking the brains and hearts of our mentors and people we need wisdom from to try to discover that unique purpose and that unique reason why we're alive. And that's really what the two-day life plan experience is. It's all about search and discovery. And we go for truth. We flush it out through a Socratic conversation, asking questions to create the right thinking and conversation in order to excavate truth and make it visible literally on big sheets of paper on the wall so we can see it. And then we can decide what to do with that truth. So it's not a consultative, here's what you should do with your life. It's more being guided to discover that truth about yourself for yourself. That's the search and discovery mode. And that's what I love about facilitating or guiding these two-day life plans is the beauty of the process is it's Tom designed it to be Socratic in its design and its nature. In fact, if people say, well, Pete's plan for my life is, if they say that, I failed, because it's who am I to tell anyone who they are or what they should do with their time? But I've seen people discover truth and stall out to some degree, and that's because phase three is about surrendering and ownership. And so what does that mean? This surrender word trips people up quite a bit. We say it's the portal to full ownership. Owning what? Owning the truth of my core life purpose and how that flushes out into my future vision and my how I live life. So the surrender conversation in its essence, if you believe, and people have different spiritual beliefs, but most people I know, they may not have the same religious platform, but most people I know believe that we have a human spirit and that there is some kind of superior spiritual being beyond the physical world we see. And if you believe that, and you believe that you're not here randomly, but there's a creative design and force and thoughtfulness to your existence, then it makes sense to sort of surrender or give back the gift of that life to the one who created it. And that's the act of surrender. And it's not a one-time thing. It's really a practice. It's like really believing all that I am and everything I have is a gift. It's on loan. Who am I to say it's mine, you know? And when that happens, you really begin to own in a healthy way your discovered life purpose and vision and buy into it. And so the antinomy, as we call it in the theological realm, is that if you want to be free, you sort of got to surrender the right things to the right person, you know? And when that happens, there's great breakthroughs. So that's that third phase. And the fourth phase is we call it filtering and focusing. And that's where, you know, especially in the information age we live in, a lot of clutter can over time begin to once again bury that core sense of life purpose. And so there's a discipline side to filtering out the noise and making sure I'm following my North Star and I'm on the right path and I'm not getting knocked off by this clutter of noise. And that's an ongoing discipline as well. The fifth phase is we call it adapting and renewal. And that has to do with, as the seasons of life change and as turning points come my way to some degree, I have to adapt to change. And again, my purpose doesn't change, but how I live that out and express it has to change. I'm 54 now, and how I live and navigate life at 54 cannot be the same way as when I was 24, 34, or 44. It has to shift. The sense of purpose hasn't changed. In fact, it's become more entrenched, but I have to adapt and renew to the realities of the changes that come in the journey of life.
Pete, you're primarily, first and foremost, a facilitator. What does that word mean to you, and how do you describe the work that you do for both individuals and organizations? How do you describe that to others?
Yeah, another word might be that I feel like I'm a guide. And my mom called me years ago and said, "Peter, what is it that you do? My friends asked me, and I don't know how to describe it." I was sort of messing with her, and I said, "Mom, tell your friends your son is a map maker." Right. You know, and she... she didn't find the humor in it. She sort of said, "I don't get it." And I said, "Mom, I help people discover where they're at, the truth of where they're at, and then the truth of where they're supposed to go into the future. And then we make maps to get there. I'm a map maker." She goes, "Oh, I get that." And I do that with individuals in life planning, and I do that with organizations, companies, and nonprofits through Strata. So unlike more of a consultative approach, which I do some of that too. I'm not against it. That's where you sort of people hire or pay you to give them your life learnings and how those apply to their world. This is not that. This is more of a facilitated, guided conversation. And so I guide conversations through the Socratic processes that Tom conceived and that we continue to evolve and build on at the Patterson Center and love it.
What does that 2-day life plan process actually look like?
I think unique to Tom's process is all of them is the amount of time you spend on gaining perspective. So in life plan, for example, out of 2 days, we spend a day and a half just getting perspective. You know, a lot of people will come to life planning and say, "I just want to know my life purpose and what I'm supposed to do." Well, we don't get to that until a day and a half into 2 days. And sometimes they feel like, "Are we going to get there?" What's cool about the process is once you reach the apex of clarity, you get breakthrough and you begin to see sort of above the clouds and blue skies arise. And the plan almost writes itself. The clarity of purpose and vision and the strategies of life and the actionables out of that just flow out of all that perspective. So we spend a day and a half of perspective, and within that day and a half, we are mapping out, like you referenced, David, your life story through a turning point profile. or getting clear on where you're at now, how you're hardwired, how you think, what your core talents and heart is, what you really value deep in your soul, your core values, how you're going to replenish yourself with healthy energy to give back to other people. And then we roll all that into statements of clear purpose and vision and strategies. We build a dashboard around that and then an actionable. So you get a life plan on a page, a playbook. It's a beautiful process that's holistic in nature. We look at all of your life, your personal life domain, your family life domain, your vocational life domain. If you have a spiritual community life domain, we insert that in it. And then your community at large domain, your circle of friends and how you give back to the world locally and beyond. So it's a customized, very holistic look at all of your life that is integrated in its outcome.
It may surprise some of those listening then as they hear that to hear that actually the life plan process really came out of, in a sense, the StratOp process, that strategic system for the organization. How did that come about? How did Tom and his design bring about life plan out of the StratOp process?
Peter Drucker called Tom the best business consultant in his era for Fortune 100. That's quite an accolade. Yeah. And in his work with CEOs and C-level executives, they had approached Tom and said, Tom, you've helped me with my company or my division. I need help with me. And so that in conjunction with some personal great loss in Tom's life, he's lost 3 kids and 2 wives in his lifetime. And he had just lost his 12-year-old daughter, Debbie, to bone cancer. And he was in deep depression, understandably, and had his own turning point, sort of life gate moment, as we call it, and decided to use his process gifts to help these executives who had been approaching him for personal help. So he actually facilitated his own life plan first. We always ask Tom, who did your life plan? And he was like, God, you know, it's like, but we have it actually on typewriter where he asked himself these questions and answered them. So he sort of cut his teeth on process design with himself. And then he began to use that process and approach with these individuals. And then like anything, it evolved over the decades and continues to evolve today.
What have you seen that leaders and all of us, what are we struggling with as we're coming into that life plan? And what are we struggling with even as we step out and try and make it a reality?
Well, we're all different. So those struggles are sometimes very personalized. But in general, I think the bulk of people struggle with what we've been talking about. What is my clear purpose? What am I here for? What does that mean for what I say yes to and no to? How do I leverage that? So, you know, most people need that sort of in search and discovery mode. Who am I and who am I not? I think there's a smaller percentage of, I call them these high leverage exponential leaders. They know that. They know their sense of purpose and vision. That's not why they come to me or other facilitators. What they need help with is looking at the landscape of opportunity, and in their worlds, oftentimes it's abundant, and filtering and sifting out maybe that one opportunity out of 20 that is the best of the best and has its greatest impact for the world, for their talents and their passions. And so they're confused. And they need help sifting through that confusion to get clarity. I think at some point we all need guidance outside of ourselves that's objective, that can help us sort through those questions that are sort of haunting us or continue to be unanswered. And so whether those have to do with why am I here or what should I do and not do or some other kind of question, most people are stuck and they need help moving forward.
Pete, for those who are listening who maybe haven't been through the process or they're not able or ready in this time to go through the 2-day life plan process, what advice would you give to them about what can help them today to get greater clarity on these things and even to move from a place of being stuck What would you advise?
We have a simple tool. It's a perspective tool called the Four Helpful Lists, and it asks four questions. And you can ask these questions to yourself. You could sort of self-facilitate. Have a conversation with yourself. Go get a cup of coffee at your favorite coffee shop, or do it on an airplane or in a park somewhere. And just ask yourself, first of all, what's right now in my life, all of my life? Look holistically at your life, personally, maybe if you're married in your marriage, and if you have kids with your family, in your workplace, in your community. And just what's right? It may not be perfect, but it's right. And then reflect and write and make some notes on what's wrong. When I look at my life sort of from a bird's eye view, it should be right and it's not. Just bullet point some things that are wrong. Third question is, what's confused? I don't know if it's right, wrong, or something else. It's just confused. And sometimes it helps to put confusion on paper and make it visible. And then lastly, we ask, what's missing? There's voids. I feel them. And if I could add those to my life, it would meet a need that I'm not being satisfied with. So what's right, wrong, confused, missing? You know, just doing that and then sort of going through whatever comes out and siphoning out, we call them core issues, or things that sort of the big rocks in my life. And then asking yourself, what do I have control over with those? What can I begin to move on and act on to respond to that list of 3, 4, 5, 6 things maybe, and take some action? And some of that might be, I need to go find someone that I respect and they're a trusted advisor and sounding board, and bounce some of these things off of that I'm asking myself. And it might be that you end up getting a life plan, but it will launch you into sort of search and discovery.
Changing pace a little bit, we're going to jump into our quick fire round, where I ask you a short question or make a statement and get your immediate response. So what's a favorite book of yours and why?
Well, in the life plan space, I love that Man's Search for Meaning. I just read a sequel to that, Man's Search for Ultimate Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He's written a whole bunch of books, but it's pretty heady, pretty academic. He's a psychotherapist or psychiatrist, but he challenges me deeply.
It's good. What's a daily practice that you do that you would encourage others to follow?
I do a thing called morning pages. I learned it from Julia Cameron in her book, The Artist's Way. You get up in the morning and it's called brain drain. You get out a piece of paper or a notebook and you write 3 pages of longhand with a pen on paper, not typing on a keyboard. And whatever comes out gets on paper.
Who's been a great mentor to you in life and why?
Well, Tom, for sure. He's been I call him my strategic mentor. For sure. My dad's a life mentor, holistic, very spiritual, very life. And then I have a third one, Jerry Donaldson. I call him my relationship mentor. And he's helped me in marriage and with my kids.
That's good. How do you personally stay refreshed and replenished?
Well, I got to work out. You know, I've got to get the heart rate up a good 4 times a week at a certain rate. For sure. I do my writing, morning pages. I like to take a long walk every week by myself, 1.5 to 2 hours. That's where I just, in my own way, talk to God, ask questions to God, and then read. I've got to have the inflow coming in. So I'm always reading on my technology, or actually a real book. I'm reading something.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for joining us today and leading us through this conversation around this journey of life and living our life's purpose. It's been great to have you with us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
You've been listening to the Patterson Podcast. This episode was produced and edited by Mary Wade. Special thanks to Ox Creative for the music. And if you're listening and wanting to know more, you can reach out to us at pattersoncenter.com. That's Patterson with 1 T. It would be our pleasure to hear from you and to guide you deeper into this conversation. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, and when you're there, please leave us a review. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we look forward to seeing you next time.